What's up, fight fan? You're listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Sunday, April 14th, 2024, and this week's episode, the UFC 300 post-show. We'll talk about everything UFC 300, what comes next, what happened during the night, and everything in between. And really, we'll talk about a whole lot of fight announcements. The UFC is just getting started, and it's just a great time to be an MMA fan. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Zamudio.
Double G. Parental discretion advised. I'm going to be saying some bad words today, tonight.
Oh my gosh. It's that bad?
No, it's that good.
You know what? That's the best thing ever. I think that's the best thing you've ever said after I introduce you. You know that? In like 200 episodes.
Finally got one.
Let's go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I mean, all right. So UFC 300. Let me just start off before we talk about anything Alex and Jamal. You know how people were saying 299 is so good, 300 isn't better. Ladies and gentlemen, UFC 300 was, like Jim Miller, flipping better. It lived up to the hype. Every fight delivered. Every fight was high stakes. People fought like they had something to prove. Oh, man, it was just, what a night. What about yourself? 299 was big, but did 300 get the job done?
I mean, 290 what? Like 300 above and beyond. Forever in the record books, all time, you know, greatest tricentennial event of any sports in the world. It delivered, and then some. And you know, thanks to, was it Mike Bond? Who was the young sir that just kicked it all into high gear, man.
Okay, you want the truth? So I was right behind Mike, watched the video, and I want to tell you something. He, yes, thank you very much. But, so Dana White, you could tell he's thinking, and I could see Mike Bond is thinking about whether or not he wants to inject himself into this, right?
Ballsy.
And as I see that, I know the mic can't pick it up, so I'm telling him, Mike, say 300. Say it. Say it. You can't, literally, there's no video evidence. Ask him, tweet him, he will tell you I was behind him. I was telling him, say 300K, say it.
Dude,
and he did, and Dana rolled with it. I'm not going to take credit for it. I saw him be very humble on Instagram in his comments. That's fine. Personally, I think if he gets a cut, I get a cut. But okay, we're going to let that go. But for the record, I was telling him, say 300, bro. And he did. I was proud of him. I wasn't sure he was going to do it. I think he was debating whether or not to put himself out there like that. But look what happened.
It's a bold move. A bold move. But I think every fighter on that card who...
They acted like there was 300 on the line, no?
I mean, it changed the game.
Yes.
It completely changed the course of the evening. It was already going to be great. But there's no doubt in my mind that everybody in that cage was like, oh, man. If I really give it go, 300K.
I think people weren't afraid to take chances, is what you saw.
Except Aljamain Sterling, but yeah.
Yes. I mean, look, get the dub, right? I think a big moment in his career, too, so I'm not going to give him a hard time. But look, very few people went to decision, including him. So, you know, he just, it is what it was on that one.
Yeah.
Let's start from the top down.
Okay.
Alex Pereira, Jamal Hill. Jamal never lost the belt in the cage. Alex Pereira, absolutely the man of the moment. The amount of people... I don't remember Chama being a thing. But man, last night was Chama. Let me tell you. Look, he needed like, what, 2 minutes? Jamal, so if you watch him, it was that left Achilles. Mm-hmm. He comes out unorthodox in the southpaw. Hiding, you know, let's be real, very effectively protecting that left ankle from Mr. Pereira. I think the biggest thing, though, is that Jamal really, I think his offense just was too limited from southpaw. And I'm not saying he can't do that, you know, over time, but I think that he really didn't have Alex's respect yet that he was able to work his game from southpaw. Now, I'm gonna just also be upfront. They were still getting going. A lot of adjustments could have been made between minute 1 and minute 25. The fact is, we didn't really get there. Instead, we got this hilarious moment. Alexis trying to walk him down a little bit. Jamal, hits the inner thigh. Seems like he might have scooted up, bounced off the cup a bit. Herb Dean is about to step in, and like he's channeling the spirit of Mr. Tony Ferguson, Alex waves him off, like, "Hold on, I'm fighting, brother."
Yeah.
And 2 seconds later, left hooks Jamal to the Shadow Realm. That's a wrap, and still for the win. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, crazy. You know what? The biggest thing that I was thinking about after the fact and preparing myself for this amazing conversation we're having here is that it was so quiet. And it
Yes.
reminded me of McGregor Alvarez. There was like just this almost silence as McGregor started laying these punches and Alvarez was falling, and that's how it was with Pereira. He puts his hand out almost like he's using the force to keep Herb Dean away. I'm okay, thank you. 2 steps forward. Yeah, this weird sneaky left like shovel hook. It almost
Yep.
looked like he was gonna throw the right. I think he fainted a little bit, a twitch, and then boom, the shovel hook from the left. And it was all freaking over. Can you tell me though, because I'm out of touch with the
Sure.
world, what were the gestures that he was doing with his hands, the two palms
I
thing?
think he was trying to indicate that, oh, he's gonna put me to sleep, and he's like, look who's sweet dreams like a baby. Like,
Oh, okay.
look who's asleep now. I think,
I see.
yeah, I don't know that it was necessarily referring to something specific. Obviously, at the press conference, Jamal had his water bottle with the bloody Easter Island
I
head and
mean,
all that.
good, those things can either really pay off or really, nail your coffin shut. And I
You
think
know what? Here's the thing. It's not okay. Let's break the fourth wall very bluntly. Pereira knows marketing. I mean, you think he just happens to do the tribal paint? No, he sells T-shirts with it on, for crying out loud, and the
yeah.
feathers and all that. I don't think it's a coincidence he stops to do that whole tribal, like he's marching to battle and pulls back the bow with the arrow. It's all marketing. But obviously, Pereira, he kind of took that "it's only okay when I do it," because in terms of like pre-hype and trash talk, it's like it wasn't really crazy. Like, "You're Mr. Easter Island, this is gonna be you." Bruh, everyone says that to Pereira the last couple years since it
Yeah.
became a thing. So I don't really know that it was. Pereira tried to make it sound like it was his Michael Jordan, "I'm gonna take that personally." I don't really know that Jamal said anything outside of course I'm coming in to, beep 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 his beep beep
Yeah.
beep, But Pereira ran with it, and I think it made for obviously a more epic finish in that way. I think it, man a few words, when you make it easy work, I think it makes you look a lot scarier. So I thought that was well played. I
Yeah.
think he stuck the landing with that. Are you ready to talk about the future? Is there anything else you want to touch on
No,
from the fight
I'm ready
itself?
to go.
So we hear the, I don't remember what part of the post show it made it to, either the broadcast or the ESPN post show, but they talked about Pereira about 2 weeks ago broke his pinky toe, which, is uncomfortable, but I feel like that also happens like every week with a professional MMA fighter.
In the NFL, I think, and you don't really need your pinky toe, right?
Right? Yeah, you could still dance without it if it
Oh,
ever
yeah.
falls off, but you get my point.
Yeah.
This does, however, because the first thing I thought, he made it look easy. He took no damage. Do you know what's the main event for UFC 301?
No.
It is
Off at all?
still
No.
Alexandre Pantoja against Mr. Steve
Oh.
Usyk.
Yeah, which is like meh.
Yes, I think a lot of fans have expressed certain things, right?
Yeah.
I really thought, bro, he is actually good to go for UFC 301.
He is.
Now, here's the thing. You weren't going to pull out of the fight. Now I do start to say, you know what? Look, I get it. You had a fight, you got it done. Now we're starting to push it. Do I think he could still probably win a fight against some top guys? Absolutely. If I am Mr. Pereira's manager, Alex, you got it done. Don't push it. You know what I mean? I would hate for a moment like this at 300 to really get washed out by rushing it at a 301. That being said, crazier things have happened. I could absolutely see them saying, you know what? Brazil, that Rio card needs help. Pereira, are you ready? Magomed Ankalaev, are you ready? No? Khalil Roundtree, are you ready? Yes? I think that, quite bluntly, I think that this could be in play. Plain and simple. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's short notice fights are fun and exciting, but then you think about them like, you know, what happened to Volk. But Pereira didn't even get hurt, you know, the short notice fight. Yeah, I mean, he was barely touched. So a little pinky toe, not going to hurt him, not going to disadvantage him too much unless his opponent decides to do, you know, foot stomps. So I'm down for it, but yeah, let's sit down with the team and really talk through all the possibilities here, who are likely opponents, you know.
Well, Ankalaev's easily by process of elimination the next in line. I think he's someone fresh and new and on a roll, knocked out Johnny Walker. Jiří is right there, but truth be told, I feel like on short notice, that's kind of just given too much to
Yeah,
Jiří
that's
if
too
you're
much.
Alex business-wise. And then Khalil Roundtree, is it the biggest fight? No, but I would still tell you that he's kind of right there with Jiří to be the next man up, if not Magomed. So it really depends on how bad does UFC want him on the card. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you know what? As we're talking this through, I'm going to change my opinion because something you said is ringing very true now, and that is, you just had this amazing moment at the best card ever. Don't ruin it so fast. Like it could very well get ruined at his next fight in 3 months, but don't ruin it right away. Don't risk ruining it right away.
Fair enough. I think, like I said, I think it's going to come down to how bad do you feel you need Pereira on 301?
Yeah.
Because, hey, they might pull a Renato Moicano, show him the money, and next thing you know, Dana White could get on his Instagram on Tuesday and, say, hey, we're having an encore presentation, UFC 301, Pereira versus Roundtree.
Yep.
It could get crazy. And also, if I'm being honest, as much as in the cage, Ankalaev is the guy, I don't know if on the microphone I am as amped up to see Ankalaev. So my point being that Pereira, turning it around, that's what I'm trying to get at. Pereira turning it around for a 301 on short notice almost feels like it would be a little more exciting than, say, they add him to the co-main event in Perth or something like that. If it is Adesanya Dracus, you know what I
Yeah,
mean?
yeah.
So, just food for thought. I think that I am 60-40 Pereira not being on 301, but the fact that I'm telling you there's a 40% chance he fights somebody in like 4 weeks, I think it says enough, no?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's move to the co-main event because we have so much to talk
So much,
about.
man.
Zhang Wei Li, that one, the champ faced some adversity. Several knockdowns, couple reverse positions. Yan Xuanan, full credit, never quit on herself. If anything, the grappling, the takedowns in the top game of Zhang Wei Li, that one just bailed her out of this one. I thought that, Yan Xuanan did a lot better than maybe a lot of people expected across 25 minutes, but the athleticism and just the multitude of weapons really bailed the champ out of this one. Did what she had to do, bit down, kept coming at her, kept getting to the position she needed, and just worked an all-around game. Once again, big moments for Xuanan. That was a lot bigger than I think a lot of people maybe were given it credit for in terms of talking about the card. But Zhang Weili, you know, and still takes it home. What were your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought Weili did would have not had to gut through so much towards the end if the what happened in rounds one and two didn't happen. So basically, Weili defeated Yan Shengan in round one. She choked her out.
Yes.
But there was like a weird thing with the clock, I guess, or not a weird thing with the clock, but the timing of it was so bizarre that the round finished. If you go back and watch it, you can see that Yan Shannon's out, but her arms are not are still tense. But you can see her head drop a little bit. She was out when the bell rang, or when the horn sounded and Wei Li let go. She was clearly out. I mean, they show
The
replay, and
replay.
her eyes were like in the back of her head. So technically, she won then. Round two, there was a vicious ground and pound happening with Weili on top of Yan Shonan. Any ref could have called that fight right then and there. I don't know, was it Mark Goddard? I can't remember who it was. Didn't call it. Not sure why. Well, championship fight, barely round two, but could have easily been called there and any other on any other card. So I'm looking at this like Weili just had this adrenaline dump of I choked her out. Didn't get the win. I grounded pounded her. You can feel it that you're beating someone's, senseless. Didn't get the call. So yeah, she was a little bit tired. Round three was able to grind it out though in four and five and got the win. Yan Shonan is tough as heck. We know she's if you're a UFC fighter, if you've gotten to that level, of course you're tough, but being tested the way she was really, really proved that she is extremely, extremely gritty and durable. So it was a great showing for her, but Weili's still queen.
Yeah, I think that I mean, in the moment, if you ask me in my heart, what do I think happened to Shonan? You tell me she's out. I see it. I felt like it was, you know, my general understanding of these submissions, though they happen fast, there is that moment of the lights flickering before they completely shut off. I felt like Shonan was simply in the lights flickering moment. And here, my point of that is that the second you let go, they don't just click back on and you're 100%. The body essentially just had something traumatic happen, and it takes a second to reboot. I think that's what you saw, Shannon. She's getting her feet under her. By the way, the fact that the broadcast has to figure out this whole thing, whether or not the smelling salt thing was
Oh my God, that was so
actually
funny. It
happened.
was clearly just the dude's finger. Like you could see him pushing down.
Yes.
But I love Joe Rogan because
It
he's
was
like
like
this.
he was having his old like mini podcast, like, wait, that's a
Exactly.
thing?
He's like,
Yes.
Jamie, can you pull it up? Did he give smelling salts? Are those legal?
Oh
I
my
mean,
God.
it was hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I heard it too. Do you want me to wake her up? Do you want me to wake her up? You can see him pushing down on her fingers. Pretty sure smelling salts aren't legal in the UFC. So, but that was such a funny moment because it just sounded like a kid in a room with his friends that are also kids, like, hey
Is
man,
that actually a
is that
thing?
okay? Can you do that? I don't
It's
know. It was funny.
the people who are like, wait, is Judge Judy actually a judge? And it's like, it just felt like, wait, is that a legal thing? And it's like you see people like Googling in the moment, like,
Yes,
oh my gosh.
exactly.
Look, credit to Shonan. She should have not have made it to that last bell. She did. You know, and Zhang Weili just. You know what? Would it be MMA without a weird one? Come on.
Come on.
I'll leave it at that. Tatiana Suarez is next. Process of elimination, by merit, every criteria. It's Tatiana. Star power, Tatiana. Had the HBO
Oh,
documentary.
yeah, that was good.
Yeah, very well done. She was at a PFL on Friday, got to see her, and you know, very chill. I think that I think that at the end of the day, they're just looking to make sure it's good business. I think that this is a big fight. I think when you think about how dominant Zhang Weili has been against everybody not named Rose Namajunas, and then you think about Tatiana Suarez from a marketing standpoint, this just really, I mean, what more do you want? You know what I mean? So, I did ask Dana White. It doesn't sound like China is back on the board for 2024, in which case, I mean, maybe that International Fight Week card is a little too soon. That being said, the Sphere, Weili Tatiana, Mexican American in September, title fight, recover from whatever injury. I feel like that could be pretty cool. If not, I mean, you could put her co-main event in Australia, closer to Asia with Weili, in August. That could be cool. Return to Madison Square Garden. That would be a big fight, I think, with Tatiana Suarez. So there are a lot of different options of where you could do this fight. If China's not there, what I'm acknowledging is anytime pretty much after July onward is probably fair game.
Yeah, and that's an exciting matchup, not only because they're both great at their jobs, but the size and height difference is going to make it very compelling. And let's see how they game plan this on both sides.
The clash of styles too. I mean, Tatiana just has such a dangerous weapon that even respectfully, like let's say for example, Rose Namajunas, fantastic striking, just beautiful striking on the feet, but she doesn't have that one like man that like Alex Pereira, the left hand and things like that. Tatiana Suarez, that freaking ability to take you down. It's such a unique weapon for those women at 115 because she's so, just a long frame, really broad shouldered. Tatiana said that herself. It's like everyone thinks I'm really tall. It's just the shoulders. She's just a little more broad shouldered. I've stood next to her. She's only like 5'4", 5'5"-ish.
No way, dude.
Bro,
Seriously?
TV makes everything look different.
Holy
She
moly.
looks a lot taller on TV. She's not too tall.
Wow, she's got she broad
It's all the
shoulders and
shoulders. It's all the shoulders.
strong mandible, like
Yeah.
I don't know if Weili could hurt her with punches to the face. I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, that's why they fight the fights, right?
That's right.
But yeah, wherever you do that, but I feel like the Sphere or in Australia makes the most sense, just with those little factors. A lot of people call this the people's main event. You know what? Okay, I'm trying to think. This is up there with Conor McGregor in Madison Square Garden. This is like Anderson Silva's front kick to the face. I'm just trying to think of like those iconic finishes that made someone a superstar. This is without maybe the attrition, the Griffin Bonner. Max Holloway doing BMF things to Justin Gaethje. Natalie, as I was watching it, I couldn't believe it. I think a lot of people, as it was playing out, were just like, wow. Even if you believed in Max, I don't know if people believed he would be that one-sided at times against Gaethje. I want to preface this. So he goes, Max goes for the spinning back kick, doesn't land flush, but essentially like just the positioning. I don't even know if it was foot or his maybe even the calf as he's spinning, but quite bluntly just gets Gaethje square on the side of the nose, completely breaks it. And Gaethje struggles with it the rest of the night. You'll remember after the Oliveira fight, Gaethje had a long time off. One of the things he did was fix his nose because he was starting to have so much trouble breathing. If we're being honest, Gaethje is as durable as anybody. He's talked about it, just very few people ever are able to put him down. He was flinching every time that face was getting hit. And I have to imagine, you know what? Nose aside, and mind you, this is full credit to Max, legal move, cracks his nose open. Changes the game. But I felt like I was watching Gaethje flinch way more than we ever see him usually. And he's stood there and banged with guys like Tony and Fiziev and, just Charles.
Dustin, I
Yeah,
mean
Poirier. Yes,
Chandler.
exactly. He was flinching, I feel like, and I think it was all the nose. I think the nose changed the game. Now, to his credit, across 25 minutes, I think the biggest thing was he really kept trying to look for that overhand right. And Max, to his credit, really just did a great job getting out of the way of it. You could tell they really prepared for that counter or for that little surge that Gaethje likes to do. I thought that the movement was great from Max. I think that he did a great job across 25 minutes just not being there for a lot of the combos that Gaethje likes to start in the middle of the octagon. And full credit, Max was faster. Max's shot selection once again had a brilliant night, was able to just run away with it on volume. Just beautiful execution. I'm gonna wait. We're gonna talk about it next. Do you have anything to add before we talk about the last 10 seconds?
Yes,
Tell
I
me.
have, as you know, regarded this BMF belt with great disdain.
Sure.
And what a fool I was. I didn't like it when it was Justin and Dustin. I didn't like it this time around. I said to you, you have to be this, you have to have that persona of Nate and Jorge, like the streetwise guys. All this nonsense, bullshit. That I believed. I no longer believe it, Double G. I was fucking wrong. Max Holloway is the baddest motherfucker out there
Oh my
because
God, I just said two profanities in 10 seconds.
I told parental discretion, bro.
Yeah, let's go.
I was so that this to me was the greatest fight I've ever seen, period. We'll get to the 10 seconds. Of course, I'm cry I'm get teary-eyed thinking about this fight. The moment I watched it and every moment since it happened last night. This was the greatest freaking fucking fight I've ever seen. Period. Stop. Max Holloway is the man. He never looked better at the age of 35. How old is he?
He's 32, I think. It's just
32,
he's been in the
Gaethje,
UFC since
32.
20 years old.
Yeah, 32, Gaethje's 35. To me, he never looked better. His body looked great at 155. His movement was sharp, fast. His defense was on point. And I can't even say that this was a war because he was in control almost the entire time. Now, you're sitting on pins and needles because the threat of Gaethje landing one or two punches or one big bomb and it's over. Holloway ate a few of those by round four, maybe. He started eating some, took it well, but he'd already done so much work before that. And that's with the leg being all beat up because Gaethje was kicking it nonstop from bell to bell. I can't believe still what I saw last night. I'm gonna watch this fight over and over again. Because it was so goddamn good. Before the 10 seconds, I would like to ask you if you can recall what the feeling was like where you were watching, what the energy was like in the space you were in as this was progressing from round to round before those last 10 seconds.
Let me tell you, just so look, we're very busy. I'd like to say sometimes the pacing backstage, sometimes it takes a long time for us to get fighters. Quick aside, it might have been one of the most smoothly run events ever that I've covered. Sometimes they will just pack them in back to back to back. Whatever was in the room, whatever's going on. Everything was working so smoothly at 300 that we actually got to watch it, and we're just like you said, pins and needles. You're watching, and you could tell Gaethje's hurt, but you could tell Max is probably ahead. And then Gaethje kind of rallying on the cards, and that fourth round, he's knocking down Max, and it looks like, hey, he's getting closer. And like you said, the second you have the freight train. You have, that car crash coming at you. You feel like this could be it for Max, particularly because we know what Gaethje could do. And to his credit, he cracked Max with some pretty, he landed a few shots, direct hit. Max took him well. And but there was the feeling like, okay, he ate it. He can't take too many of those. Nobody takes too many of those. Look at Gaethje. He's hurt, but he's fine. He's still
Yeah.
dangerous. And you know, we're just kind of watching, and it feels like going through that fifth round, Max got it done. Hang on, few more seconds left, and he's gonna get it done. But yeah, for sure, there was just this man, like the nose changed everything.
Yeah.
Look how fast Max looks. Look how I was with Brianna Eckert. Well proportioned he looked,
Yeah.
55. Like his legs looked thicker than Gaethje's,
Yeah, he looks so
personally.
good, man.
Yeah. And then it happened. And just, you know what, we talked about this, and I will say this, Zombie kind of gave Max the signal last year.
Yeah, he did. He came with his hands up. Yeah.
Yes, and he kind of just kept walking at him, and I think Max understood, oh, we're doing this, brother. Okay. And he did what Max Holloway does. He gets into those things. Ricardo Lamas,
Yep.
Holloway called for it, and Lamas, you know,
Obliged, yeah.
he got off the floor and said, we're gonna dance. Gaethje, I'm not gonna lie, I feel like Max should have signaled a little sooner, because then Gaethje, I think Gaethje was out of it
He was.
in the moment. But he hears the clapper, Max says, let's do it, brother. And Gaethje starts throwing with him. I think he realizes we're doing this too. And oh my lord, the right hook on the chin, on the button, crumples. Gaethje crashes out of the BMF title fight. Max Holloway hits the shot and just does the flex. He doesn't even look back at Gaethje. That is baddest motherfucker shit. Yes!
Yes.
That was awesome. I get why Dana was pumped up about it. I get why everybody was pumped up about it. I was pumped up. Everybody was on their feet. The media room went wild. I was told the arena went wild. I was told the entire media row in the press ledge was on their feet like the fans. It was unbelievable. That is BMF stuff, and Max Holloway delivered. Nothing more to add.
Were you crying? Because I
You
was
know what? I'm
crying.
not gonna lie. I was so excited. I was like, I'm about to get in trouble. I was like, bro, like, calm down. You're not allowed to. But everybody was just like, just,
Dude.
you know what? You knew you just saw somebody do something special.
Something fucking
You know
special,
what? I
bro.
think, I don't know that I've reacted. You know, we watch this so often, right? I don't know that I've reacted probably since Izzy did knocked out Pereira. That's the only other moment I can think of in recent years. Masvidal with the knee on
Yeah.
Askren. That kind of feels like it. That was Max Hall. Look, Max Holloway is so good. He's so beloved. He's so great, and he's just still adding to it. And you know, look, we're about to talk about what happens next, but the fact is, anything else is like, bro, just Max Holloway officially is one of those guys, you know?
I
When you
mean,
talk about
yeah.
Anderson, when you talk about GSP, when you talk about Demetrius, in my opinion, Max Holloway officially with that one. And I know, I get it. You lose three times to the same guy who's so amazing in his own right, in Volkanovski. To me, that this one for Max Holloway, you talk about him the way you talk about those other guys, Habib, you know, Jones. I think he earned that. Nobody else has done this to him, really. Just, I mean, think about it. It's unbelievable. I think that he made it, he officially earned that status.
Yes, and you think about the progression of Max Holloway, right? Losing to Volk three times. The first two were, oh, you know, could have gone either way. Third was clearly Volkanovski dominating Holloway. We're asking the questions: is this the beginning of the decline? Calvin Kattar, Yair Rodriguez, Korean Zombie. Like, okay, Max is still in it, man. Max is still in. He's got that beautiful wife, his son, the family's all together. And then you think about when he fought Dustin Poirier at 155 and just didn't look great, looked undersized, was eating a bunch of shots, couldn't string it together. And so the concern everybody had was, man, is he just going to get beaten up? Is he going to get Tony Ferguson by Justin Gaethje? What's going to happen? And it was the complete opposite. Complete opposite. The man was on fire. And those spinning back kicks, not only the one that broke Gaethje's nose, but then he kept throwing them again and again. His leg was so busted up, he kept almost falling over at the end, but he wouldn't stop throwing them. He was just plugged in. He was a superstar before for all he had done over the years. This is like stratospheric, man. Like, put him on all the covers of, of UFC, the UFC video game, right? Like,
UFC
forever.
6.
Yeah, UFC 6, UFC 66. I mean, just keep putting him on there because
Yeah.
he is there now, like, undeniably at the top. He is one of those big names that you say is always, it's like, in Hollywood, it's like Tom Cruise is still one of the biggest celebrities out there, even though he's 70 years old. That's going to be Max Holloway. He's going to be one of those top names in the sport forever and always because of this. The pointing to the, I hope Monster Energy gives him a bonus too, because he did it right on top of the freaking Monster Energy can, pointing down with 10 seconds left. Let's fucking go. You're right. Gaethje was kind of like, okay. Where am I? Bobby Green just did it to Jim Miller. Jim Miller was out of it. It was
Yes.
horrifying to watch. This wasn't quite that, right? But it could have gone either way. To take the chance that you get knocked out in that exchange, that's Yair Rodriguez and Korean Zombie, right? I mean, they didn't do that, but it's like one of those crushing last second defeats. They just showed Anderson Silva and Chael Sonnen, right? Crushing last second defeats. This could have been that. And Max Holloway put it all on the line for us. For us. To have that moment to enjoy. He talks about, like, I was meant to be a fighter. If this was different times, I would have been a gladiator. Gladiators didn't have no scales. They just fought whoever. I mean, the man is just legit. Remember when Manny Pacquiao got knocked out by Marquez and Jim Lampley got on the mic at the end and he started saying, he was crying. Go look it up on YouTube, everybody. He was tearing up, talking about how the number one guy was always Floyd Mayweather. The number one and number two were always Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. And nobody talked about Marquez. Now he is that guy. And so I'm not saying Max Holloway was in the Marquez position, but this moment is making him BMF, all the fucking Fs, man, just everything.
You gotta give Justin Gaethje his flowers. He talked about it. He said it. I'm not. This is my last run at the belt. And I'm not looking to. I'm looking to do other things. I want. I think different things in his life he wants to pursue, right?
Yeah.
And he's got gas in the tank. He's still great. He's still Gaethje, and we still love him. He acknowledged pretty much like, if I take another step back, that's probably it. I hope this isn't it, but if it was, I hope people, don't act like he was some like at the downswing on his way out. He is
No.
a tough and exciting guy, and the game, there are a lot of people who love the game because of Justin Gaethje, and I think that that man deserves all the respect for what he's given in the octagon. His loss does change things. I thought that this might be one of the look, and I know because one, I realized, man, how good was last year. Adesanya and Dricus was a pretty unique hype when they got in the cage right after the Dricus beat Whittaker. When Max Holloway says somebody's running and the camera pans to
Oh my
Ilia and
God,
people
that was
start
so
booing,
funny. He looked
bro,
scared.
he was like, this is happening right now, isn't it?
Why
Dude,
me? Is it too late to go to medical school?
is it too late to go back to Spain where they all love me and I have the meeting out of my hand? Bro, make that tomorrow. Yes, you could talk about Islam Makhachev and all that. The fight to make is Ilia. The fight we want is Ilia. The fight that will be gangbusters is Ilia. I've heard different rumors. I've heard Spain may be a 2025 deal in the end, Natalie. That
Yeah.
is the word on the street. Anything can happen, particularly if I'm being real. I think Spain probably saw what Max did to Gaethje. They said, wait, that guy, that superstar, could be fighting the Spanish superstar? I don't think it's out of the question. Some big money could get thrown around to bring it in 24. Just because, strike while the iron is hot, as they say, right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't, though, you could put that fight anywhere. You could put that fight in Australia. You could put it in Manchester. You could put it in Vegas. You could put it in Florida. You could put it in New York.
Go to Hawaii,
MS.
man.
Yeah.
Bellator does it too.
Oh, they've thrown in the
Oh
towel.
my God.
To see Max Holloway say, bro, I don't even dream that dream anymore. But, dude, Madison Square Garden, Abu
That
Dhabi,
would be
everybody
great.
wants it.
Yeah.
Everybody would want to have that one. Those countries that invest a lot into the tourism and pay UFC to have a big fight would love to have it. So, anywhere you put it, it's good. If you told me Max after that is going to fight Ilia this August or this, October in Spain, oh heck yeah. What else could I want? Let's go. So,
I gotta ask you this.
sure.
Max physically looks so good at 155. Like, man, do we want to? I mean, I guess this, does he want to stay at 145? I know he called out Ilya, but like, did he talk about that? The press, right?
I
Press
mean,
conference.
he just knows he has options.
Yeah,
And I
yeah.
think that's the biggest thing is the big fight for you there is for Ilia. I think you're right there. look, if you told me they want him to fight Islam next, that's not a bad fight either. But
Yeah.
I think that stylistically, that challenge of Ilia just is a
That's
little too enticing.
yeah, okay.
Look, and I'll kind of use this to segue. He could always look, take your shot, you get it back, cool. You don't? Well, let's continue this at 55, right? I mean, look what we just got. Armin Sarukian prevails in what ended up being quite the match against Charles Oliveira. Charles goes for that deep guillotine early, and I'm not gonna lie, you probably saw it too. I thought that this is why the champ has a name.
Yeah,
This is why he's that dude also. And I felt like, bro, this is what Charles Oliveira does. After a few seconds, it's like, dang it, he's about to get out of that, isn't he? And credit to Armin Sarukian. I thought he executed a great game plan against a dangerous guy. For as much time as he spent in the guard and just neutralized Charles, great job. There was a little bit of attrition. He had to take some shots, and he kept dishing them out against Charles. I saw it, you saw it, end of the fight. Charles goes for the darce. Looks like he's locking it in. He's giving a bit of showmanship, and it's like, is he gonna get it? Wouldn't that be something? Wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
I felt fair game. Sarukian had that one on the scorecards. I know a lot of fans love Charles. I mean, fans wanted to soften up Sarukian before the fight. I mean,
My
that was.
gosh, so crazy.
Don't see that every day,
Why
right?
does he get booed so much? It's
I
like
think
very
he's just fighting
surprising.
Charles.
Is that because he was getting booed like the whole week out? I
He's
mean,
just, dude, you saw it in Miami, everybody, I'll be honest, I think we've outgrown it. They did everything except do the whole you're gonna die chant,
yeah.
So it was like, bro, what the heck is going on? So full credit to Sarukian.
Yeah.
Okay, this is what makes things kind of crazy, right? So Islam Makhachev beat a short notice step up Sarukian once upon a time. Obviously, Sarukian's in a way different spot in his career now than he was back then, particularly following a victory over Charles Oliveira. They'd obviously just announced Makhachev and Poirier, which I'm gonna put a pin in, but I acknowledge that. Sarukian is the next man up. And if you really want, put it this way, if something happens with the schedule that necessitates making Islam Max first, okay. But if you ask me, I think what it now becomes is Makhachev kind of trying to finish his work at 55. He's beaten Armin, he's beaten Charles, he beats a guy like a Poirier. this now sets it up where, you know, he was one of the guys in the running to fight Leon Edwards. Where's Leon Edwards at towards late 24, early 25? Because if they want to set something up with like a Bilal or a Shavkat, and then, you know, have if Islam beats Poirier, you know, have a champ fight, I could see that happening. Just because I don't know that in this moment, if Islam beats Poirier, I don't know that fans are really gonna want to see him run it back with the Armin, overseeing him take on that challenge at 170 because Islam's been so good at 55. But I will acknowledge if Islam stays at, particularly anybody, you know, Armin Sarukyan's the next title shot after Poirier. Plain and simple. He's earned it. He's got it. Give it to him. What about you?
Yeah, I think he earned it. He's got it. Give it to him. I agree. You know, I think because he's not new, but we're so used to the top five guys being our guys for so long that I'm not like so excited, you know, for about him. But he's, I mean, you cannot deny what he can do, the abilities that he has. So yes, he is next. And you know, he soundly defeated Charles Oliveira despite those two submission attempts. And not only that, but he made Oliveira look like he was going bald because of all the blood that was being shed. I don't know if it looked that way to you, but like the blood mixing with his bleached hair, it looked like his hairline got pushed all the way back. It was the creepiest thing.
Bro, that was so crazy. When you know that when the blood starts, when you're more redhead than bleach blonde, you know
Yeah,
you've had a fight if
you gotta fight,
you
brother.
shoot box. But he made it look so cool though.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that was, I'm not gonna lie, emotionally. Oh, yeah, I love Charles. A lot of
I
people
know,
do. It
I
just
know.
wasn't his. Hey, sometimes it just ain't your night.
Yeah, man,
Yeah.
it's hard.
Look, let's keep going through with a lot of the others results
Yeah, of
over here.
course.
Look, Bo Nickel does Bo Nickel things.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that one early adversity from Cody Brundage. I think that was very well done. Jiří Prochazka, Alexander Rakic, Dana White said it himself. That was the BMF fight before the BMF fight happened. Their intensity all week, loved it. Jiří had a point to prove. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he did. He was bothered.
Yeah, I thought that that was something. What else do we have? Kayla Harrison, successful debut. Amanda Nunes throwing her hat in the ring. What do you think about that?
I love it. I love it because Amanda's resting. She's got her baby. She's, you know, eating freely, but she's a fighter. She's a killer. And her legacy is untouchable. However, Kayla Harrison, someone that she used to, you know, they used to train together. I mean, I know they were at ATT together, but they're friends, would you say, or
Yes,
teammates?
absolutely.
There's no hard feelings there, right? So she knows what Kayla's capable of, and she was training with her at a bigger weight. And so she's probably thinking like, huh, I wonder what this would be. How much of a challenge would this be? You know, if she tells Dana White she wants to just come back for a one-off, would he approve? Approve? I don't know. But I think it would be like undeniable. You wouldn't turn down that fight. You would not make that fight, right? If she's like, I want to fight Kayla when and if she gets the belt. So I was really pleased to see Kayla look good. You know, seeing her weigh in on the scales, she didn't look that much worse for the wear from the neck down than anybody else cutting weight. But we know her face so well. And like, it looked like she was hurting a little bit. Her nose was like all red and swollen. It couldn't have been a good weight cut, or it couldn't have been a fun experience for her. But she's a professional. She did it. She defeated Holly Holm pretty soundly. You know, Holly Holm made a mistake. I don't know if she was trying to prove something or just wasn't thinking clearly, but you know, instinct drove her to go in for a takedown. It all backfired. I liked seeing Kayla on the mic with Joe Rogan. That made me smile, man, because us, you know, the two of us and everybody that's been tracking her career since PFL have been so impressed and entertained by her post-fight interviews. It was good to see her, you know, get to the top of the top with Joe Rogan. I did think, though, watching the press conference and everything leading up to it, like, she was the shit at PFL, right? She was the top yes. dog. And you really did see that she was now a small fish in a big pond. It's not trying to cut her down or anything, but, like, you know, she's up on that stage with everybody else. And, like, yeah, man, Kayla Harrison's freaking awesome, but look who else you're sitting with. And all the questions weren't about her. And I'm curious what that experience was like for her.
Well, I'd imagine, one, I think it's almost a little bit of a relief, right?
Yeah,
I think you don't, you know, like, hey, you know, you are now sharing the workload. You know, it's not
yeah.
all, you're the only reason people are watching kind of feeling, you know? Mm-hmm. I think I'd have to imagine because, don't get me wrong, I think, for example, several fighters, Conor McGregor, an Israel Adesanya, to name a few, there's this understanding, you know, if you are that guy, you can do the most talking and make the most money. I think there are some other athletes, plenty of them, really love the whole, let me just let the skills do the talking.
Yeah.
I think that Kayla, though she's figured out the microphone, I think she's someone that, like, hey, if I could just make as much money and all I got to do is the performance, not the talking,
mm-hmm.
I would love that way more. So I think that that's what, you know, the vibe I got from Kayla Harrison. I think that, one, super impressive against Holly. Holly even talked about it, just, you know, just kind of found herself a little surprised, I felt like. Found herself in adversity. You know, it was just quite something. In terms of the, you know, one, seeing her with Joe Rogan, I couldn't help but think, like, does Sean O'Connell feel like he's being cheated on right now?
I thought so, too.
I got a little kick out of that. Like, the,
yep.
You realize how, you know, coupled they are in your mind, right?
Yeah.
I thought, look, one, absolutely zero stomach at the weigh-ins. Official, she did rehydrate.
Yeah.
And she did tell me she rehydrated to the same weight. I almost didn't believe it. I was like, there is no way you are 160 right now. You just...
Holy, is that what she said? Holy.
Yes, and she said that's what she rehydrates to usually when she's fought bigger.
Okay.
And I'm like, you just look too lean.
Yeah, she doesn't look as big as she did. And
like, there's no way it's the same. And I'll be honest, if you listen to it back, I expressed that. I was like, wait, really? You know? Sorry, yeah, I was so shocked. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I think the thing about the Amanda fight that I'll acknowledge right now, and Dana White even said, well, you know, both of them, like, she has to get to Raquel Pennington first.
Right, right.
I think the biggest thing about the Amanda fight is that this is something that Amanda didn't have. If I'm being quite honest, I would argue that just off of this is automatically a bigger fight than the last three Amanda fights. Arguably the last four, going back to Felicia Spencer. And
oh,
I know
yeah,
that was a main event, but I actually felt like, you know, that kind of felt like the Amanda Nunes showcase. I don't know that people ever felt like there was going to be any resistance from Spencer. And it ended up being a very, you know, one-sided dominant bout, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Juliana Pena, we counted out Juliana Pena until she counted herself back in.
Yeah.
And in the rematch, she kind of saw her way out back again, right? Okay. But I don't know that the fans were like, man, you know, I can't miss that Amanda Juliana Pena 2 fight. I do feel like in this moment, there is a little more heat. There is a little more spice on the whole history and the dominance of both of these women. So I think that that's out there. Raquel Pennington is still as tough as ever. And I know that, you know, she's not up there necessarily in terms of, you know, drawing power. I think that the fight with Kayla Harrison is still very good. I think that you have to acknowledge where Raquel is at, where Kayla is at. Kayla is still someone who will need a lot of time to make 35 and draws herself out. This is still a tough fight against a very experienced person in Raquel Pennington. But if they turn this around late this year and Kayla were to beat Raquel Pennington, Juliana Pena, that's right there. I think people wouldn't mind seeing those two talk at each other and fight. Obviously, Amanda Nunes, how great do you want to be? How great is Amanda if she still comes back after time off and gets it? All of these things. So I think that opened the door very wide open for Miss Harrison. What about you?
It absolutely did. You know, this division is percolating again. We're excited. This is the person, the energy, the skill set that we needed injected into 135. And Nunes, you know, winking an eye through Twitter is also, you know, animating things even further. So I'm loving where we are right now. I feel bad for Holly Holm. You know, I was surprised that Dana White thought she should retire, but I guess it's because it was pretty one-sided. You know, if it had been a back and forth, maybe he would have felt differently, because when this fight was made, he was touting her so highly, you know, to promote it, of course. But, you know, also all that stuff is true. She's done all these amazing things. She's a big name. She's already in the Boxing Hall of Fame. So I don't know. Do you agree? Do you think it's time for her to hang him up, or what's
Holly Holm's future? I think that you got to talk about what are you still in it for. And yeah. I think that if it's about, I still feel good, this is still what I want to keep doing for a paycheck, absolutely, it's Holly Holm. If it's about staying in the race for the title and continuing to pursue that, that's a different conversation, right?
Yeah.
And look, her next opponent would still be a big one. I could see them, for example, running it back with Mayra Buena Silva in this moment. Maybe the Misha Tate rematch finally. But
yeah, that would be a good last fight.
I think, yeah. If that's what it's about, then those fights are there. But if it's about, you know, in the next 12 months, can you get to a title fight or title eliminator? I don't know about that.
Yeah.
And if that's what Holly feels and has to think about, then that's a different story, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but and look, mind you, she's been to the summit and she's had those moments. You got to give her that credit in that way, you know what I mean?
Hell yeah, yeah.
To talk about some more of the highlights, just kind of working our way backward, Aljamain Sterling, Calvin Kattar. The one thing I will say is that Aljamain, kind of like Davison Figueiredo after beating Garbrandt, you're still a big name, it's just there's so much more other stuff going on. Now, I think the best thing that happened to him was Max Holloway beating Gaethje the way he did, because I think that almost automatically sets up Aljo versus Brian Ortega. I think that just makes sense. You could also
That's a good matchup, bro.
Right?
Yeah.
Aljamain Giga Chikadze, that wouldn't be too bad. You know, fights like that, but I think that just kind of, you know, bottlenecked the division now. Now we have a pecking order, and I think that sets that up pretty well. You could even get Yair Rodriguez, who is still, you know, imagine Aljo Yair at the Sphere in September.
Mm-hmm.
All right, different fight. But the fact is, Aljo probably getting Yair or Brian, depending on how they want to do this. So that kind of does it for him. Looked okay at 45. I think I was very... The fact that he was still able to outgrapple a clearly bigger guy now in Calvin, I think that was very promising for his chances at a, you know, a second run here at 45.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, not the most exciting moment at 300, but get the job done. You know, you get your win bonus.
Yeah.
Rule number one, secure the bag, bag secured. Bad. Let's go.
Okay.
Keep moving backward. Diego Lopez. That is one bad boy.
Dude.
That dude, that kid brings it. I like watching him. Just like, I'm not saying he's Bobby Green, but similarly, it's like, just if they just throw him against somebody every week, I'm good with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude. And like, I actually legit, even though it was 300,000, I thought he was gonna get the bonus or one of the bonuses. I also thought Kayla was gonna get one too. But Dana White's probably like, you know what? Let's
You
be
gotta earn it
real.
tonight.
We're gonna be real judicious with these freaking bonuses. But he did say that they were getting something, right? So I wonder what that something will look like.
Probably like a 25K,
Maybe
kinda like
take it.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It ain't no 50K for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Renato Moicano, dude, I love this guy. I thought, and Jalen Turner almost finishing him.
Oh man, so
Tried to walk
heartbreaking.
off KO
Too
and
soon.
full credit to Moicano. That is a big guy to put down and take out, and he did it against Jalen. You know how we talked about when Moicano just absolutely got destroyed across 25 minutes against Dos Anjos?
Yes.
And it's like, dude, he just took time off of his career. I don't know that I've ever been happier to be wrong in this case. He's like fighting the best MMA of his career. People love listening to him.
Yeah, that's like a thing, right? All of a sudden.
Dude, yes. He's not a, he's kind of like Chito Vera. He just learned how to say some bad words and
Yeah.
just keep leaning into it, and people love it. He's figured it out.
That's so funny.
Good for him. That was a great moment. Jessica Andrade, tough fight, but just keeps going at Marina Rodriguez for the
Yeah.
win. She didn't jump ahead of Tatiana Suarez,
No, but no, not at
but
all.
she is still up there. And certainly, I mean, I don't know that there's somebody else for Jessica. I almost feel like you could wait out for a title shot, but I feel like they may have her fight one more before getting that other shot at the belt. If she wins it.
Yeah.
Bobby Green absolutely bloodies Jim Effin Miller. I don't know why I said that. I clearly were cussing on this episode, but you get it.
Why didn't Bruce Buffer say it?
He's on ESPN, not
Oh,
allowed
that's
to.
right. That's right. It wasn't pay-per-view.
But dude, that was he Bob things of Bobby Green with his fist to his face,
Yeah, but you know
bruh.
what? Jim Miller hurt Bobby Green multiple
True,
times.
true.
So, just
But
too bad.
I appreciate Bobby's attitude at 300. That's the
Yeah.
kind of fight I wanted him to have at 300. He did it. Called for Paddy Pimblett. I would love that.
That's a good fucking call out.
And he said, "Let's do it in England." Say no more. I'm in. Sign me up. Davison Figueiredo, he wants a title shot. He kind of threw a bucket of cold water. I said Petr Yan. Davison and Petr Yan felt like the fight.
Oh yeah, it's a good one.
He said, "Nah, I'm a former champ moving up. I need a title fight." And I was like,
I mean,
Merab,
yeah.
Corey Sanhagen, Umar Nurmagomedov. Anyway,
It's a you're not Conor McGregor. You can't just jump the line.
final thoughts on, well, first off, do you have anything to say about any more of that?
No, that's it.
Final thoughts on anything around the pageantry that they brought out for 300? Just
I
like the
loved it all.
presentation, anything.
Yeah, I loved it all. All of it. The commentators, Megan O'Leary looking sharp, man, in that suit.
Everybody looked great.
Everybody looking sharp. Chael Sonnen, when they brought him out for the Hall of Fame, like they kind of just put him in front of random chairs. So that was a little awkward. He's like talking to the camera, but the
Well,
mic's not on.
Megan said they told them they were going to do something else before the BMF, and then they did it. So
Yeah.
he got faked out.
Yeah, he did. Here's the thing that I love, not the most, of course, the fights trumped everything, but the shorts. Venom coming through with some
Right?
killer shorts, man. Max Holloway, Wei Li. Justin Gaethje's was super subtle because like it's supposed to be
Yeah.
like American flags, but you can't see him. Alex Pineda, that was killer, man. That was so fucking
Yeah,
cool.
Pereira's were cool.
So what? I'm just curious. Will
Go
your
ahead.
shorts? What will your shorts be if you could pick a pattern, a design, a symbol?
You know what? So if you know the design I usually do in my hair, not one of the holiday ones, but I have
Yeah.
like a go-to when it's not,
Yeah,
close to a big
like those
holiday.
zigzag kind of things.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
would probably like have that and just kind of like just make it more ornate and just like black on red, something like
Oh
that.
yeah, I like that. That's
That
cool,
would be my
man.
thing.
Right
What about
on.
you?
Some like ink and patterns stuff, kind of like
Ooh.
Alex Pereira, but like the traditional like Incan garb. I don't say that Incan, but like the indigenous people
Yeah.
of Peru, they have this cool, colorful
Oh yeah.
fabric. I would have it just like that.
That was like one of my favorite classes in college was art history, and like the lady was just all about like it was all like Inca. Like, so it's like I just remember so many of their patterns. It was like all it was
Power
every
baby.
week. Yeah, that was cool. I thought that was a great touch. My favorite thing's the press conference. They
Oh,
don't do the walkout, they just drop the curtain and everybody's
dude,
there.
I freaking love that so
That got
much.
me hyped up.
Oh my
To
God.
see it happen in front of my eyes, it's like that was one of those, oh my God, I'm here,
You could
you
hear the
know?
gasp in the crowd because,
Yes.
like, that was sick, dude. Just
Like,
mic drop.
yes. I was like, okay, I'm here. I didn't get to listen to a lot of the packages that they did. Like, I saw the one like History of UFC, and they're like, they have like the lineage of the head kicks of like the women and all that, and there was all this other stuff going on, but I was like, all right, I'm aware they're kind of framing everything. The best touch I liked from the broadcast, and this is for the OG fans, and sorry, Natalie, but no, but so if you watch it, like the UFC intros have changed over the years, right? And you know, they update it every so often. But back when I was a fan in like 2000s through like the 2010s, and I started getting really into it, and I had zero intention of microphones and talking and fights and interviews, their intro used to be the Gladiator, and he's like watching it, and it's like, and then they do the like pre-fight packages with the Face the Pain.
Face the Pain.
And they brought that back. If you watched the prelims on live TV, they brought back the Gladiator intro for the prelim part of the card. And they
Nice.
shot it the same way they used to, with like the black and white, you know, one-on-ones with the fighters talking. I was like, oh my God, chef's kiss, beautiful. I loved it. I saw a bunch of the graphics, like they had the Pereira and Jamal, like their pictures in the boxes, like the UFC 1 graphic. I thought, good touch,
That's
loved it.
awesome.
I want to shout out the ESPN MMA graphics department. They made these custom Pokemon cards of the fighters that looked so legit. And I saw that they actually gave real physical ones to the fighters. You know,
Oh, cool.
I thought I'm a sucker for all that nerdy stuff. I loved it. So, yeah. And then in terms of being there covering it, I just, all I could say was like, I've done this a lot. As somebody who was on their couch and was watching 200, was watching like 202 or 203 with Connor and Eddie Alvarez in New York, and just like wanting to be there, wanting to experience what it's like to be credentialed for something like that, I could say for myself, like at UFC 300, it's like by the time Pereira was walking out, I was like, I want them to go 5 rounds. I want them to throw in a random McGregor versus Chandler just for the heck of it as an encore. You didn't want the night to end. I don't know how else to say it. You know, it was huge for me in terms of the journey. It was one of those nights you just feel like you want to remember forever. It was all of the things, and that's the only way I could really describe it, you know?
Yeah,
So.
man, it was incredible. I can only imagine the energy that you were infused with throughout the night, and was it hard to fall asleep, or were you so tired from it all?
You know what? I'm not gonna lie. When you're hitting about midnight, 12:30, you've been there since about 1:30 p.m. and it's coming up on 12:30 a.m. I'm not gonna lie. You don't always feel as fresh as you did, right? I felt pretty good at around midnight and 1 o'clock. And I'm not gonna lie. This morning, when I was still in Vegas before I drove home, I did have that feeling like, did that all just happen? Like, I woke up and I slept pretty good. I was pretty tired, and I was just like, you know, you can do nothing except move on with your day. You know, as sad as that may sound, but I was just like, dude, it was, you know, it's a lot. And I look forward to get, you know, I've been busy. I have a big week again, which is why we're doing the show early. But yeah, you kind of want to let it marinate and then just sit and enjoy it and like relive it, you know, kind of the way you guys did at home. So I'll tell you that.
I got another question for you.
Sure.
How on earth did you stay so composed going face to face dare I say, chest to chest with that young Brazilian beauty. Double G, talk to me.
You know what, man? Okay, so Franzetti, right? One, if you watch her, like, she's done it with like everybody, Marab, Pereira, so many fighters. So
So you're not the first.
I
Got
was in
it.
on what the trick is. I was in on it, right? I knew what she was gonna do. I mean, respectfully, when you've done about dozens and dozens and dozens of these, and everyone talks about they're waiting for you to break eye contact, it wasn't really that hard. I will break the fourth wall. Absolutely stunning woman, right? But, you know, she was very dolled up. And when someone is very dolled up, occasionally you could smell that strong smell of makeup. So, yes, I do feel chest to chest, right? But the thing is, and the video doesn't really make it, the video makes it look further than we were. We were actually pretty close, like nose to nose wise. And I got like, you know, it was just that strong. I felt like I was going right through the heart of Sephora.
Oh my goodness.
And that was the most distracting thing out of everything, because you just want to hold this expression and you want to breathe in, but you feel like you're gonna sneeze, because, like, you know, she was very glammed up and she smelled very glammed
She
up.
activated your allergies. Got it.
You know, but yeah, it's like you're aware of it. You know, it doesn't show as much on the video, but like she's making eye contact, she looks down, and I know she's doing it to get me to do it, and it's like, no, nope, not today. And you know, but look,
Funny,
she
bro.
was, by the way, her cameraman shot that for us, who does all of this for her. Super cool. He was super cool. She was super nice. And like that whole hug at the end, that's how she was when we said, hey, like, can we get a picture? Can we, you know,
Yeah.
like, look, I know what you do. Like, clear, it's not that hard. It's all in good fun. And she's like, thank you. Super nice girl.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so yeah,
Right on.
to break the fourth wall a little bit. But yeah, you know, special night, and Dana White out of nowhere just decides to read his notes as if he didn't know what was happening, mind
Yeah,
you,
why did
but
he play it like that? Like it was like, oh, just like it's like it just happened and he didn't know.
I think he just felt like being silly. So Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler on June 29th. What's your reaction? International Fight Week, Las Vegas,
Yes,
T-Mobile.
about darn time. I'm relieved and pleased to have an actual date. Let's go, man.
You know what? It's like, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I think Ultimate Fighter is actually going to start airing before they actually fight.
That's so funny.
I think my biggest thing about it, yeah, about dang time, how does the UFC approach this? Because do you try to reignite all this heat, or do you just, I'm sorry, I'm over the Ultimate Fighter thing. I think it's time for something new.
It is,
So
yeah.
I kind of am looking forward to how do they frame it, because I hope they just try to find a new approach. Michael Chandler is probably just the most relieved, right? Like, you know, Conor's had a whole movie to promote. Mike has just been waiting, so
Yep.
I think that how they frame it is going to be good. I hope they add Colby versus Ian Garry to the undercard. I think that'd be a great fight. And yeah, just once again, Conor McGregor can be that guy. He draws eyeballs that other guys don't. I just hope they lean into that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Then obviously the other one, June 1st, Newark, New Jersey. Islam Makhachev taking on Dustin Poirier. Like we talked about, and I told a bunch of people this, more than likely the UFC is going to need Islam, so they're not going to just hold him until Abu Dhabi. So I was like, all right, that's one.
Yeah.
Two, I love the moment that Dustin Poirier is in going into this fight. I thought he looked great against Benoit, obviously. I like how he's, you know, I can imagine how many MMA schools have random people still jumping guillotines because of Dustin Poirier.
I
Don't be silly, just jump the ghillie. I just, you know,
know.
bro, and all this other stuff. I loved his interview with Mackenzie Pavovich, UFC.com. And he's like talking about Mike Brown is telling him in He's in his corner when Benoit is coming at him, and he could see Dustin's got the position, and Dustin's saying Mike Brown is yelling at him, "Don't do it." And he just goes for it, and he said, "I made an executive decision." And I'm like, had you gotten stopped, you would have looked, it would have been egg on your face. But because you won, you get to be funny. So I'll give you that. I think it's under the circumstances, it's the fight to make. Had you waited, this should have been Justin Gaethje's fight. That's what breaks my heart the most for
I
Justin.
know.
I've been over it. I'm not going to ruin a good show by talking about it, but that's how I feel. And yeah, just enjoy the fight we have. I think it's a good one. I think it's a good challenge for Islam. Let's go. And then, yeah, first off, do you have anything to talk about on that one before the co-main as we round home?
No, well, okay, I shouldn't say no. Just yeah, the whole, when you take a step back and look at the whole story, it's like, man, Dustin got knocked out by Justin in the first BMF of this year or last winter. Yeah. Then he has that great comeback fight against Benoit Saint-Denis, and that is the thing that gets him the title shot. Meanwhile, Justin takes this round two BMF with Holloway to, be a company guy because he is the BMF. It's UFC 300, and then of course we know what happened to him, and what's his, return time to the cage, his recovery time, and what position is he going to be in? And so it's just the story is just kind of like, oh man, you couldn't script that. So, but all that being said, knowing how Dustin felt after he got head kicked by Justin, having that great moment against Saint-Denis, this is an amazing opportunity for him and probably his last one. So I'm glad he got it.
Yeah, I think that that's a big one. And like you said, if it is the last one, he's got to be feeling it. I mean, you talked about Holly Holm. I don't want this to be the last one for Poirier.
Yeah.
Sure, it could be. I mean, I don't want that, but man, it's just one of those moments, right? There's a lot of
Yeah.
nostalgia lately as we hit 300. Let's talk about two people with a lot of gas left in the tank, though. Paulo Costa and Sean Strickland. Five round co-main event. What do you think of that one? I thought that was. You know what? That's just such an interesting pairing because it's like. Imagine Islam Makhachev listening to Sean Strickland. Know what I mean? What do you think?
They're both such shit talkers. It's just gonna be, the lead up will be entertaining, and the fight could be too. I mean, the fight not could be. The fight will be. I'm not like super pumped for it, but it's gonna be a good fight. Paulo Costa is, back on it, and Sean Strickland's got his redemption opportunity here, so this is a good one. I'm not as excited, like, of the three that he announced, like obviously not as exciting as Connor Chandler, but yeah, good, fine matchup.
So I gotta say, after watching Paulo against Whitaker, I'm more of a believer. Had I not seen that fight, I would have said, like the Sean Strickland that took on Adesanya and Dracus, that's a handful for anybody on the feet.
Right.
So Costa, I think that how do you build on it? Because if Whitaker is right there with Dracus and Izzy. This now becomes, having Costa kind of try to meet that level, I think makes it more interesting. So the physicality against the cardio, I think that's what it's gonna feel like. But 25 minutes of Paulo Costa and Sean Strickland, I don't know. That starts to feel like it favors Sean. I
Yeah, oh,
like
for
it.
sure.
Yeah, they already started talking online. I'm here for it. So yeah, I think that's gonna be a fun one. New Jersey gets a good card. And Natalie, the show goes on. So no UFC, the PFL is in action this Friday with their welterweights and featherweights. I will be on location all week. So stay tuned at Double G on TV for everything PFL. Next week, the flyweights, which we talked about last week, are in action. Mateus Nicolau taking on Alex Perez. High stakes in the flyweight division. So yeah, good stuff. Natalie, anything else as we send it home?
No, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with you because UFC 300 was so awesome and getting to talk about it was fantastic. So thank you, Double G, and I'm glad you were there for it, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Remember, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back next week. Take care.